news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning to you. It's just about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, text line is 251-343-0106. You've used it to good effect this morning, and feel free to continue to text as we have an in-studio guest.
We sure do, and it is Mobile City Council District 2 Councilman William Carroll joining us this morning. Thanks for coming in, Councilman.
Well, thank you for the invite, and good morning, Mobile, and good morning to the citizens of District 2. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
You've had a busy, it stays busy for the city council, and we're always following what you guys are doing and talking about, and there's plenty to discuss at these council meetings, but this week it's kind of taken a different tone, which we've seen previously, and that's after what happened on Sunday at Sanger Theater, Sunday afternoon into, I guess, Sunday early evening. A dance recital, kids' dance recital, so many of us have sat through and been part of over the years. And there was a shooting there in the Sanger, and a death and another person injured, hit in the ankle. Yesterday, District Attorney Keith Blackwood said they're upping the charges to capital murder because it was done in front of a child there, the victim's child.
Yeah.
And the discussion around town, of course, Councilman, you know this, has been about safety and security and this trend where we're seeing shootings in public places that we're not used to seeing them in.
It is. First of all, my condolences and prayers offered out to the Williams family and to everyone that was affected by this shooting. As so many in the city know, that I'm also a girl dad, and I have a daughter who has countless times been on stage dancing or in a play, and in that very Sanger Theater itself. And as I said yesterday, if it hadn't have been for the Prince of Peace Lawn Festival on Saturday and Sunday, I would have been there myself.
Mm.
So it's just by happenstance that we missed that weekend in the Sanger Theater. Secondly, let me say that there's no other fault with this shooting or blame to be placed on anyone else other than the shooter himself. I mean, you know, we can't see what's in a man's heart. We can't direct what's in a man's heart. But this guy pulled the trigger. Now, the other thing is that even though it was a private event, I do believe that the city has to have the same protocol for private events as far as security and safety that goes, even when we have them in our own public buildings, when it's our own public event. Everyone should follow the same protocol for protection and safety of our citizens.
Regardless of the event.
Regardless of the event.
On the text line this morning, a texter asked about that, about the city, about the insurance, about lawsuits that could be coming. I mean, is the city anticipating any of that coming from this event? And does the city, does Oakview Group, is anybody on the hook for all this because of the lack of security?
Well, I haven't had those conversations or been a part of them, so I can't really address them directly. Neither am I a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just look at the same type of situation at Ladd Stadium when we had an open gate and people going in and out, and someone chose to come back into the stadium, mm-hmm. which then drove the community crazy as far as safety. And now the school system itself has a totally different system in place, whether it is a private event or a school event or a county event. And I think they've stepped up their process. And I think that when there is a private event that is in a city facility, then the same procedures have to be followed even when it's a public event in a city facility.
Yeah. So you're thinking, Dalton and I talking about this, you know, on Monday. Of course, it's the talk of the, it's our job, right? So we're talking about this event because everyone's talking about it. And it just seems like the name of the event, the fact that it was a child's
dance recital on a Sunday afternoon.
You would almost think that in itself wouldn't make it highly unlikely you would have something like that. But anytime you have people convening, and now you have people who are enemies, but going to be at the same place. We've learned, like Sandy Simpson said on Monday, you assume nothing at this point.
Well, you're right, but you know, my mind goes even further than that. When you have a gun at a recital for a child's event, it makes me think, why did you bring the gun in the first place? So it makes me think that this individual or individuals knew that there may be or felt that there may be an incident, which then leads me to say that when we know that people in our community are looking for an a fight or something to come up, then we need to start talking about it in advance. We have to take a totally different approach now to how we handle gun violence and how we handle de-escalation. We cannot just wait till there's an incident in front of us to jump up and say no. We've got to start stopping these at home. We got to start stopping these on the sidewalks. And if we see something, we need to say something. We've gotten to a point now where we want to pull out our phones and record this instead of stopping this. You know, 50 years ago, when I was a child, our parents would have cut this off at the door because they're frisking us before we go out the door. What's happening now? I mean, the family structure has totally broken down when it comes to things like this. Even though these two guys were 27 years old, if I had walked out of my house or walked out of my neighbor's house or gotten into a car with my kids and my family, my wife would have said something, my mother would have said something, my grandmother would have said something. Someone would have said, what is that in your belt? Or what is that around your waist? What's making your pants look like that? And that's not happening anymore. So the total structure of what we do as a family, as what we do as a community, as what we need to do as a society has to be rethought when it comes to gun violence and also de-escalation. And we've got to start at the family level.
We're talking with Mobile City Councilman for District 2, William Carroll. He's joining us in studio this morning. And the metal detector talk, I guess there's now discussions, and maybe this began yesterday or even previous to that, about not just running the magnetometers for every city-hosted event or event at a city-owned venue, but upgrading those metal detectors and kind of putting in, it sounds like what they have in a lot of the schools around here.
Well, yes, you know, Chief Barber, or I should say Chief of Staff Barber, has mentioned in the past that there are certain types of metal detectors that are very aesthetically pleasing to the eye, but also highly of a higher quality. And you're walking through those constantly, and they're constantly measuring and taking note of what's on your body or on your person. And I think that's what he was alluding to when he mentioned this, and he's mentioned it in the past. But I now with what we've gone through this weekend, I think it's even heavier on the minds of both the administration and the council and the police department and everyone that's been impacted by this.
You know, it happens. It happened at Langan Park, and we just shook our heads. Then it happened at Sage Park, and there was a loss of life there. Sage Park, I passed that basketball court probably 5 times a day where I live. And now, of all things, at a children's dance recital, you've touched on it, you've said your piece, but I'm just telling you, it's so disgusting. It's so abnormal. Kim Thurman happened to be at that event, and I heard her on Fox 10. She was really good. She's now, of course, she now works news in North Carolina. She was back in town for her little girl's final dance. I think the girl started dancing when she was 2 or 3, you know, Kim Thurman, NBC 15. And she was talking about just the fact that our children going to think this is normal. This is the way things, she said, it's not. We have to make sure that people know just how abnormal this is.
And point well taken, and that's my point. This is not normal, but the structure of belief that our kids see, they think it is normal. It comes from everything that they see, from the video game to the television to the rap scene to the, you know, organized, I would even say organized gang scenes that you see that are in other places across our country, where they think that, hey, and the only way to protect myself is that I have a gun. And the other thing is that even the good kids now feel like if there's a bad kid that I know that's bullying everybody else,
then I need a gun.
So we've got to stop that. And, you know, and it's not the way to think. The only way way that we're really going to think this, I mean, stop this, is, like I said, we got to get out the box that we're in now. We've got to totally change our approach, and we've got to start doing things totally different than what we're doing. Everybody's talked enough. I mean, we talked, but there's got to be a basis of action that we can take. And yesterday I even said this. There was an attempt to take some action with a piece of state legislation that one person presented, you know, to say, hey, we don't want you shooting into cars. We don't want you shooting the open houses. This is the penalty that we're going to put in place if we do this. But no, we had another person who now are head, these two people head to head, that turn around and say, no, we're not going to do that because it affects this, it affects these people, and it affects this group of people. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that if we continue to fight each other as leaders as to approach that we're going to take, then we're not going to get anywhere. Mm. I mean, and that's on all sides of the issues. So at this point in time, we as one minority leaders, black leaders, we've got to also stand up and say, this is the way we're going to go, but we have to do it together. And we got to find a single line that we can get everybody on track with and start promoting the right way to do this.
I really appreciate that take on that. And I was thinking about this, you know, a lot this week. As the city council, and I appreciate that you guys, I mean, obviously, this happened in our own backyard. You want to do something, but with the way that laws are made, I'm just wondering how tough is it, especially with sentencing? I mean, there's nothing you can really do except voice your opinion on how sentencing goes for crimes like this. It just seems too light and has been too light for a long time, but with your hands kind of tied, not really being able to change state or federal law, what ways can the council go about fixing this problem in their own backyard?
You know, I think that when it comes to state and federal law, I think CJ was trying to hit on this yesterday, and I think it totally came out wrong. And I think that the way the media perceived it was wrong. Second Amendment rights, you know, they hinder what we can do here locally. If the federal government and the state can't get the laws to the point where we need them locally, there's nothing we can do locally to enhance those rights that are protected by the Second Amendment. So that is what I think he meant. No, that's what I know he meant. But the structure of his voice and the structure of what he said just kind of did not come across the way the media thought he was saying.
So what is that? What was he trying to say?
Well, what he's trying to say is that in order for us to strengthen our gun laws here in town, then the state has to strengthen the law so that we can strengthen what we're doing behind the State Enabling Act and also behind the federal laws that set up the gun laws. We need their help in order to, one, strengthen our laws down here, is what he's saying.
Are the people that are pulling the gun so often, and they're so young, and in this case they were older than a lot of the crimes we've seen, do they care? Do they care about law?
No, they don't. And that's, you know, if a guy's a criminal and he's had several criminal cases beforehand and he's already pulled the trigger once a time, you don't know what's in his heart. Yeah, like I said, a crime of heart, a crime of passion, a crime when people really are angry, that's a split second decision. We can never control that. But what we can try to help control is the possession of firearms. We can try to help slow that down. Everybody has the right to bear arms, but everybody needs to be educated on how to bear arms. The age in which you can purchase a firearm has to be changed. When you're caught with a firearm at a certain age, there has to be a certain consequence for
sure.
It. When you discharge a firearm in a wrong place, there needs to be a consequence for it that is unbearable to deter that. When you kill someone whether manslaughter, direct murder, capital murder, there needs to be a high consequence for that so everybody sees that you cannot and you shall not do that. It's almost adding the 11th commandment to the 10 commandments. Thou shall not bear a firearm, you know, unprotected, unwielded, in the inappropriate place.
Can you hang around with us for the next segment? I wanted to ask you about some affordable housing. I know that's a big topic. You said it's one of the, when folks who vote are asked what one of their leading issues is, affordable housing comes near the top or at the top very often. So I want to get into that and also a vote that happened yesterday. We're with District 2 Councilman William Carroll, the Mobile City Council, and he'll be sticking with us through this next break.
Yeah, 251-343-0106. If there's something you want to ask William Carroll, we'll do it for you.
This WKRG News Update is brought to you by Aero Exterminators. Stop termites and pests before they attack. Schedule a free pest inspection today. Call 888-GO-AERO or visit aeroexterminators.com.
Good morning, I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5. Charges have been upgraded for the man accused of shooting two people Sunday inside Mobile Sanger Theater, killing one of them. 27-year-old Marcus Sanders faces the death penalty if convicted, as he is now charged with capital murder for the shooting death of 27-year-old Carl Williams III. This week, Mobile City leaders will celebrate the beginning of work to dredge the lake at Langan Municipal Park. Thursday, state and local officials will hold a ceremony at the lake beginning at 9 in the morning. Last month, the City Council awarded a contract to Hughes Companies Incorporated. A reminder for those of you on the Eastern Shore, today, the First Alert Storm Team will be at the Spanish Fort Ace Hardware from 3 to 7, programming weather radios. You can buy a radio there or bring one of your own and have it programmed for free. Those were your news headlines this Wednesday morning. I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5.
The Mobile County Sheriff's Office wants you to know how to safely and legally operate an ATV. Remember, these vehicles are not designed for use on paved surfaces, and it's illegal to do so. Always wear a helmet, never drive under the influence, and never let children operate an ATV. Your ATV dealer can provide training for your specific model or can direct you to the proper source. Call the Mobile County Sheriff's Office at 574-8633 for more safety tips or visit online at mobilecountyso.com.
Imagine working for a company where your ideas matter and you're not just a number in the corporate system. FM Talk 106.5 is looking for a driven, persuasive sales associate to connect to local businesses with our local audience. This commission-based role offers flexibility, the chance to develop smart marketing, and the ability to grow your sales goals. Imagine working with a small, passionate, and locally owned team. Email your resume to info@fmtalk1065.com. Bigler Broadcast LLC is an equal opportunity employer.
Largemouth bass usually begin spawning when water temperatures reach about 65 to 68 degrees. Before spawning, male bass head to the shallows to scour out bedding sites and wait for the females. And no comment from me about waiting for females. In South Alabama, spawning generally takes place under a full moon in March or April, but after warm winters, they could begin spawning much earlier. Male bass guard the nest to keep brim and other predators from eating eggs or fry. When on a nest, bass don't eat much, but they might attack anything that comes too close. In the spring, many bass anglers look for fish on the nests, and they drag jigs, flukes, other soft plastic baits repeatedly through the nest until they bite. And sometimes, just leave it in the nest so the water movements make it twitch a little. That drives bass crazy. After catching a bass during spawning season, please release it as quickly as possible, especially a female with a swollen belly, because that's the next generation. This is John Felsher with your Outdoors Tip, brought to you by FM Talk 106.5.
If you enjoy talking sports, then you have to tune in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show, presented by McConnell Automotive, the number one GMC dealer in the state of Alabama. Hello again, friends. This is Randy Bergen. Be sure to join me and the gang as we'll talk football, golf, and more sports, because we talk about what you want to talk about. It's Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. right here on FM Talk 106.5.
From the Vascular Center, Mobile Traffic Center, owner accident still being cleared westbound I-10 between Dauphin and Parkway and 65 and South Joachim and Government Street. Westbound I-10 still seeing heavier traffic near the George Wallace Tunnel, but a good ride as you're traveling to the Eastern Shore with no new wrecks. Get the best vascular care from Vascular Center, Mobile in Mobile at Morn every Monday at 230 North Greeno Road in Fairhope. Dr. Glenn Esses and Celeste Fleming have over 38 years combined service meeting all your vascular needs. See all they offer at mobilevascular.com. And I'm Kane with the Talk. What is 6-5 private.
Good morning, friends. Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings with Councilman William Carroll in studio. He's being kind of hush. Well, we won't get into that.
A lot of construction going on, Councilman, and not just the big projects, not just the big buildings, although every project's a big one to someone. A lot of affordable housing going up, and I know that was a discussion yesterday, not stuff being built, but on Knollwood, a senior living facility, affordable housing, and there were too many people with issues on the road that didn't want to see it there. How did this kind of all play out?
Well, actually, this is in Josh Woods district and on the border of Ben Reynolds district, but it's more of a citywide type of issue. A developer, Clarence Ball, was trying to develop senior living with townhouses and medical aspect to it in the area, and I think the citizens were worried about traffic. They were worried about property depreciation and drainage and all those things that go along with it. In the end, Mr. Ball was asking for additional time to do a traffic study, drainage studies, and all of those things that also come with the development process after the zoning has been changed. So at this time, however, there were the drawings and plans and all those had not been finished. It was just a charrette and, you know, elevation type of thing. So, you know, you didn't have that. But normally you don't do those things until after you've actually gotten your zoning in place, gotten your property purchased, and done all of those things. And then you come back and do all your design work, your traffic studies, your engineering studies for drainage and all those things. So, and this type of case, I think the citizens wanted it beforehand, which led to a lot of controversy and led the councilmen of that district to say no to this.
You've had some new affordable housing go up and look pretty good in your district too, right?
Well, yeah, we've got a lot of affordable housing going up. Of course, everybody knows that I am a contractor, and I am a for-profit contractor. So the work that we do personally is totally different than the work that we do with the city to do affordable and attainable housing. But we have a groundbreaking coming soon on the affordable housing project or the housing improvement program that I actually wrote for the city, and it's going to start in District 2. We're starting with five properties, and we're actually starting on the corner of Congress and State, which is in the campground, which is an underserved neighborhood, and it's a neighborhood that's needed new housing and redevelopment for a long time, and we're about to start that.
Not too far from Detente Square, right?
Not too. It's right down the street.
Yeah.
I mean, it's less than a mile from Detente Square, and the glory of this is that the architectural styles are going to meet the old architectural styles of that neighborhood, which were actually historic.
Yeah.
They're going to look like that present. They'll be off the ground a little bit.
That's a historic black area.
Oh, it's right? Yes, it's an extremely historic black area, especially like the bottom in the campground. And you know, it's one of our neighborhoods that we've been in now since, I would say, since the changeover in 1868 and 1887. So these are extremely historic areas to us, and now we have the ability to go in without the red tape of HUD, without the cutoff of the federal government, and to be able to do these things and make them accessible to everyone that's looking for an affordable housing place to start their homes.
Okay. Well, Councilman, we really appreciate you coming in with us this morning, and want to get you on also. I don't know your plans for anything coming up in the next few months. I know there's a couple people jumping in for your seat. We'll have to talk about that maybe on our way to August. We really appreciate you coming in this morning.
Well, thank you so much.
William Carroll, Council 2. It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Payroll processor ADP checking in with its May employment report says just 37,000 private sector jobs created last month. President Trump says it's high time for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates to spur economic growth. He is terribly wrong. House Speaker Mike Johnson's assessment of Elon Musk's stand on the president's One Big Beautiful Bill, Musk condemning the GOP budget and tax cut bill as an abomination. As the clock struck midnight, the tariffs on imported steel and aluminum doubled to 50%. President Trump authorized that sharp increase. Federal regulators may soon take another look at the abortion pill mifepristone. And some of the country's midsection, including parts of Missouri, have been pounded by fierce storms, bringing destructive winds and flash flooding. Stock futures lower on Wall Street ahead of the opening bell. This is SRN News.
Big news. Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange. And millions like you are joining our news revolution. Newsmax is now the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in America. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for shows with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Rob Finnerty, and more. So download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV and start watching. President Trump says Newsmax is truly terrific. Get the free Newsmax app and check out Newsmax shares on the stock exchange. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such an offer would...
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms. Highs this afternoon will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with patchy fog, lows in the lower 70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms and highs around 90 degrees. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Dan Brennan here, inviting you to join the community at Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill. You'll find everything you need to live the convenient and carefree lifestyle you deserve. If you're looking for your next home in Mobile, hey, I found it at Legacy Oaks. It's a charming community of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments located in the heart of the city just off Dauphin and I-65. Inside the spacious floor plans, you'll discover cozy interiors complete with gas range, a gas fireplace, and each unit comes with an attached garage. Outside your apartment, you'll love the amenities like pool and a clubhouse that includes a conference room and workout center. These provide the perfect opportunity to relax and enjoy the company of neighbors. As a resident of Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill, you'll also enjoy easy access to the area's most popular shopping, dining, and entertainment destinations, and still minutes from downtown. Reach out today for more information. Call 251-344-8099 and find out more at LegacyOaksAtSpringHill.com.
Grass season is in full swing, and our friends at Capital Tractor have all the tools you need to make the hard jobs easy with a lot full of new and used Kubota equipment. Mowers, side-by-sides, tractors, hay tools, construction equipment, all ready to go. Got one broken down? Their factory-trained Kubota certified technicians can get you going in no time. Capital Tractor, your family-owned full-service Kubota dealership, 5788 Highway 90 West in Mobile, or online, capitaltractor.com.
From the Vascular Center, Mobile Traffic Center owner axed and still being cleared westbound I-10 between Dauphin and Parkway and 65 and south to Ackerman Government Street. Westbound I-10 still seeing heavier traffic near the George Wallace Tunnel, but a good ride as you're traveling to the Eastern Shore with no new wrecks. Get the best vascular care from Vascular Center of Mobile in Mobile at Morn every Monday at 230 North Greeno Road in Fairhope. Dr. Glenn Esses and Celeste Fleming have over 38 years combined service meeting all your vascular needs. See all they offer at MobileVascular.com. And I'm Kane with the Head of the Talk. What is it? Fine traffic.
Hey, 8:34. Welcome back, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. And right now, we're going to hop on the phones and head over to McConnell Automotive. We're going to talk with Louis Arata. Louis, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are great. Good to hear from you this morning. And, well, we're getting some nice weather right now before we start maybe seeing some storms roll in the afternoons this week. But you guys are rocking and rolling at McConnell Automotive, not just selling cars, but also buying cars. And I know some folks out there wanting to sell.
That's right. You want some of that summertime cash? We got it. We need the cars. So if you want to get rid of something, give us a call, 251-476-4141. As for Eddie Hicks or Mike Hatcher, we got plenty of buyers on the lot right now trying to look at some stuff, and we would love to have your vehicle. And then if you have that unfortunate accident and get a total vehicle or just want another vehicle, come by and see us, man. We got a great selection. of vehicles. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Also have some low interest rates now, and like I said, we got some great deals, some great GMCs, and used GM certified cars. So stop by here on beautiful Midtown Mobile, east of I-65 on Dolphin Street, and we'll see you.
Yep, it's worth your time to head over there or hop online, like Louie said, at McConnellAutomotive.com. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, come see us. Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him, like you said, at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Okay. Well, this just, you know, right in line with all we've been talking about. Breaking news from NBC 15, according to MCSO on, let's guess this was overnight last night, 1:02 a.m., the Mobile County Sheriff's Office was contacted by the Pritchard Police Department that a shooting occurred on the 3400 block of St. Stephen's Road. Prior to the arrival of MCSO at the scene, a two-year-old victim was transported to a local hospital with a gunshot wound to the face.
Oh, my goodness.
The two-year-old was in bed alongside the parents in their room when shots were fired. MCSO Major Crimes Detectives responded to the hospital to interview the parents as well as other witnesses. At this time, there have been no arrests, and MCSO is asking for anyone who has any information about this crime to please call 251-574-8633. So again, 1:02 a.m. this morning at St. Stephen's Road, the Sheriff's Department contacted by Pritchard Police. When they got there, a two-year-old had been shot in the face. The two-year-old was in bed alongside the parents, according to this report. When the shots were fired, where the shots came from, there's no explanation of that.
And we have no update
on the
other than
of
that
the child.
On the condition of the 2-year old.
Right.
Man, that is another stomach churning tragedy. Hopefully, praying that the 2-year old's okay. It's I don't know if I have the words for to keep seeing this happening. We with John Young on, who he's on Monday nights now, but he's been a guest so often over these last few years, and we've had so many discussions about all right, we may have lost our a lot of our audience. I think we're still streaming, so we'll keep this going here while we figure out what's going on. But so this awful news overnight, Dan was just reporting from NBC 15, 2-year-old shot in the face. So what I was saying was, you know, with John Young, who's been in so many times over these last few years, and we had, you know, one story after another of a child just sleeping or playing video games in their room. And we just had Councilman Carroll coming on and talking about shooting into homes and vehicles that we've seen over the years. And this is what happens. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they're able to figure out what happened and get the person responsible for this soon. But this is just another awful, awful thing that happened overnight, apparently.
It's like, a basketball, well, the park, the examples I gave William Carroll. The park, a couple of months back, Langan Park, after school, then nighttime with a packed playground at basketball being played on Sage Avenue. And then think about, those are all iconic spots. Langan Park, Sage Park, Sanger Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how low can we go? Now we get this news.
Yeah, a
two-year-old shot in the face. By who? How? So the Sheriff's Department went to the hospital. I would assume it would be the one right there, the trauma center at USA,
mm-hmm.
Right there, not far from St. Stephen's Road. And now you have this, a two-year-old shot last night, and the detectives on the scene there talking to the parents, trying to... So obviously we have a lot more of news that still needs to come out so we can actually discuss all of this, because we've got really nothing to go on at this point.
A lot of text on the text line this morning, 251-343-0106, and we'll get you any more information that comes out as it comes out on that overnight shooting And let's see, our conversation with Councilman Carroll, which we were talking about bringing firearms into public events. This texter says, Dalton, there are rules about firearms in public places. Many places have firearm rules and even detectors, but if you slip in a vulnerable area, you can still get a gun in. It says, to the government officials, do not try to take away firearms in public places. Instead, make the penalties horrific and provide officers that the businesses don't have to pay for. There should be an officer at every school or deputized trained person there. And you know, that's been mostly about schools, but as far as putting deputized officers or maybe off-the-clock officers off of the clock from their regular job into these places to provide security, that's expensive. It just is. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're talking about a public school system the size of Mobile's, which is the largest in the state, but there's a cost to it. And right now, especially, maybe for crime, they could put more money in to fight crime, but not a lot of people wanting to raise prices on anything right now. I don't know how he's right. I mean, when we have this discussion, it's like, yeah, why would you bring a gun into a place like the Sanger Theater if you're going to a dance recital? It's stories like this, right, that would make people think, and many of you, conceal carry is wherever you can for your safety. But it's events like this that make a sane person go, yeah, I'm not going to shoot anyone.
But I need protection.
I might need protection, yeah. So I hate how quickly, and it's expected, but how quickly the conversation after events turns to gun control. But that's a easy political winner for those who want gun control and also want to kind of get the attention off the specific issue at hand, which is
I think Carroll touched on both of them, though, mm-hmm. didn't he? I mean, I think he talked about laws, and he also talked about the breakdown of the family and the situation where kids aren't being monitored mm-hmm. well enough, parented well enough.
Let's go to line one. We have someone on the phone, Oz in Fairhope. Good morning, Oz.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hey,
doing
we're good. Great. So what do you want to talk about this morning?
Well, about the same general subject there. It seems to me that Mr. Carroll, if that's your councilman, is on the right trail, like a lot of people are, but their methods to generally disarm the law-abiding citizens through their processes, permitting processes and what have you, are not popular because mm-hmm. the people that don't get the permits always end up with the gun.
Seems that way.
And they end up doing the shooting and the killing, and then when the problems get bad, they always want to hand it off to the cops to take care of it, you know, the police take care of it, the police. Mm-hmm. Then they're finally trying to rectify some of those issues, but police aren't equipped to take care of people with mental issues. Typically, they handle them all day long, every day, but it just seems to me they ought to, every time it gets into that, it seems like enforcing those laws, it turns up that a lot of black people are involved in being the perpetrator. Or the killers, or the shooters.
Or both.
Or both. And then the black community, the leaders, so-called leaders of the black community, get all riled up blaming the white community or the white police officers and the white establishment. And that's not right. Well, as you know, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I know, and it's tough. It's obviously you're trying to choose your words very carefully, as am I, but I think it's out in the open. I think Corporal Young, has spoken for many of us, black and white, and he's on FM Talk 106.5 on
Monday nights. Yeah.
Now he's got his own show, but on Sean's show, and I think that more and more black members of this community and most communities are speaking out against this violence and this lack of parenting and lack of control.
Well, Councilman Carroll touched on it too.
He did.
He was saying, you know, you got to get the families right. And it's such a, not just a difficult decision to have because of the social politics, but it's a difficult decision to have because what do you do? How do you change a lifestyle or a mindset, especially if you're bound by, I mean, the sentencing is just the main problem. If there was immediate and serious sentencing for any kinds of these random or planned acts of violence and it happened quickly, we'd see a whole lot less of it. But you just can't. There's just rules in place that aren't letting that happen.
Oz, like culturally, that's the tough one, right? How do you infiltrate a culture of young people and set them straight? That's nearly impossible, it seems. The one thing that you could do is just when it happens, like Dalton says, that justice needs to be swift and it needs to be decisive.
Severe.
And suddenly people are just off the street. They're gone. We had that. Remember, we had a spike in crime, and then suddenly we had a number of arrests, maybe 5, 6, 7 arrests in Mobile, and crime went way down.
Yeah, just from
for a handful of people being put away. Thanks for your call, Oz. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, it's like it works in New York City. They made like there was a spell of time where things were going sideways. It turned out about 7 arrests in New York City calmed the city down. That's what they needed to do, was get certain people away from their guns and in jail. And suddenly there were less headlines of crime. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's repeat offenders. Yeah. We see the stories all the time. This person arrested 38 times. This person arrested 42 times. So often you see someone who's been arrested for a serious and violent crime that was out on bail for another serious and violent crime, out on bond. Unless things change at the very top, and we're seeing right now that it's incredibly difficult to change things, even from the very top, even when you elected someone to come in and end the crime, reverse the illegal immigration, stop the drugs at the border, the judges won't let him do it. Yeah. It's the damnedest thing. And this is a democracy. We voted for this to end, and none of it is allowed to end.
Well, despite what the judges have done to Trump, he's actually accomplished a lot of it. I mean, the border is a drip. It's pretty much solved at this point. What is not solved is all the people who are in that came in under Biden, Mayorkas, that whole clan, and the millions, and some would say between 10 and 15 million. I've seen numbers from 10 to 20, whatever it is. And you can have a bleeding heart all you want. Legally, those people got here illegally, and not legally. Therefore, they're more than likely kind of sucking off the government as it is right now, or doing it in kind of a under the cover way, but more crimes are going to be committed by people who are this desperate. More crimes are going to happen, not because these people are necessarily the worst people ever, but they got here under certain circumstances that were illegal, and now just trying to hang on. And the other side you have too, Dalton. To be honest, you know, when Trump was talking about who's going to come across the border, it sounded harsh back in 2015. But he was trying to get the attention, like there are going to be the undesirables from other nations. There's a lot of people that live in areas of the world that they just want to get out of there. They didn't have the right cards. They ended up in a spot and in a nation where things are all going against them politically and everything else. They're impoverished. They want to come to America. That's fine, but you've got to do it legally. They did not, and then all the rest, where all these gang members have shown up and proceeded to begin all of their the things that they were doing in Colombia and other nations, do them all over again in an organizational way in the United States. It's not right. And we can't have it, but we do have it.
Also, Butterknife text again said, state of Alabama can build prisons, or can't. The state of Alabama can't build prisons. What are you going to do with the inmates? That's another question here, is if you do ramp up. I mean, that's another issue I have with the state, right, is, and I've said it so many times over these last few weeks, especially since legislative session convened, all these Republicans, all these conservatives that are, they paint themselves in the same light as this populist MAGA movement, where we need to turn this thing around. We need to lower taxes. We need to be tougher on crime.
We don't want men and women sports.
Right.
All the popular tunes.
Well, the easy ones actually are the ones that are the quote unquote most controversial. When they're up there arguing about library books or men and women sports, yeah, those are issues and they make headlines, but how about we go up to Montgomery and we talk for the 13 weeks about ending this kind of crap, what we can do to stop two-year-olds from being shot in the face. And I know that comes up as part of the discussion, but like Councilman Carroll was referencing there with the law they were trying to pass to strengthen the penalties for shooting into an unoccupied home or building, you're going to get immediate pushback, and they're saying, well, who's going to be arrested if you do that? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to them? They're not worried about the potential victims in many cases. They're worried about how it'll play out.
You also hear, hey, now you have a father in prison and a child back here on the streets, now living in a fatherless situation. But if his dad is pulling that kind of stuff, what kind of a father is he in the first place? Mm-hmm. I'll say that. It is 8:51. We'll check on Jeff Poor on the way.
This information update brought to you by CPC Office Technologies. All things copiers, all things service, CPC Office Technologies, cpctech.com. Phone 251-300-2695.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms. Highs this afternoon will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with patchy fog, lows in the lower 70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms and highs around 90 degrees. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
1819 News.
Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood has already issued capital murder charges against the man accused of shooting and killing a father at the Sanger Theater during a children's dance recital. Blackwood spoke to WALA News, calling the fatal shooting heartbreaking and infuriating. Blackwood says this is a reflection of a broader pattern where verbal arguments are being resolved with deadly violence among members of the community. He says it will not be tolerated. Prosecutors have yet to announce whether they'll seek the death penalty in these capital murder charges against 27-year-old Marcus Sanders. The defense attorney for Sanders is arguing that his client acted in self-defense and that Carl Williams, the one who is now dead from that shooting, is the one who acted aggressively. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
I'm Amy Beth Shaver with Alabama Unfiltered Radio, and when I need the news, and I need it fast, I turn to Andrea Tice and the Daily Detail. On my way in, it is the most convenient, best way for me to digest what's going on so that I can use it for our show. She tells you what's going on in Alabama that day, first and fast. So listen to the Daily Detail with Andrea Tice. Don't miss out.
The Daily Detail is available wherever podcasts are found.
A Montgomery woman was arrested in Florida by U.S. Marshals. Authorities have been looking for Rashima Shackelford for mail and bank fraud charges involving the U.S. Postal Service. Shackelford was found in Miami last Friday. The Alabama Grocers Association is endorsing Rick Pate and his bid to become the next lieutenant governor for Alabama. AGA President Ellie Taylor says that Pate understands the role of the grocery industry and its importance to economic development here in the state. Taylor says Pate is aware of how state laws and regulations impact companies within the grocery industry. Pate has been serving in his second term as agriculture commissioner for the state of Alabama and will be running as lieutenant governor in 2026. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
Retirement. It could be the best years of your life. You'll finally get to do what you want to do. Travel, golf, spend time with the grandkids, or just relax at home. But you have to plan for it. Start by tuning in to Andrew McNair of Swan Capital every Sunday at 1 for What Your Money Would Say. Make retirement the best time of your life. Tune in every Sunday at 1 for What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair.
Swan Capital is registered to conduct advisory business in Alabama and Florida and in other jurisdictions as permitted by law. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Get ready for hurricane season at Patch Industrial and Auto Supply, featuring a variety of echo generators in all sizes, small or large echo chain or pole saws, and from AAA to 8D equipment batteries, plus kerosene, gas, and diesel cans. Stop by Patch, Mobile's only independently owned CarQuest dealer in Bila Battery, or just off I-65 on Whistler Street, and browse all of their practical hurricane supplies. Or shop and order online at patchindustrial.com for same-day in-store pickup. Patch Industrial and Auto Supply, getting the right parts every time since 1950.
FM Talk 106.5 is Mobile and Baldwin County's number one creator of live local content.
That's right!
This is where we see the best of America.
Listen on air, online, and on demand. FM Talk 106.5.
From the Alden Credit Union Traffic Center, got an accident at Airport and Snow. Also delays from Old Sheld off into Moffitt and 65, but no other wrecks into roadways from Tillman's Corner and Theodore Range Line to 65. And traveling downtown, we look good. Still have heavier traffic westbound I-10 across the Bayway coming in from the Eastern Shore. Earn more on your deposits when you save with Alden Credit Union. Regardless of your savings option, you'll find that Alden consistently pays some of the highest rates available. Start earning more today at Alden Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. And I'm Kane Miller at the Talk, 106.
Thank you, Kane. 856. Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings. I forgot that Jeff's got a pinch hitter in today.
That's right. April Marie Fogle in for Jeff Poor on the Jeff Poor Show, which today is just the April Marie Fogle Show. And it's even better. That's what April Marie would tell you. Good morning, April. Are you hearing us right now?
Good morning. It's a great day today. I can hear you wild and clear.
So what do you have planned for the next 3 hours, April Marie? What can we expect?
You know, 3 hours is never enough time to talk to your guests because they're to your listener because they're always so fun on the text line. But I'm going to start the morning talking to Stephanie Patelis, who's she's the new chairman and the returning chairman of the statewide Alabama Republican organization. They just chartered a new Baldwin County chapter. So we're going to talk about their meeting. And then I'll have Jim Porter on. Jim Porter is the former president of the National Rifle Association, current board member. And we're going to talk about the absolute stupidity that is Representative Drummond's proposal to infringe on the Second Amendment rights if she happens to become the mayor of Mobile. Mm-hmm. So if you needed a reason to vote against her, I feel like our listeners are pretty good on that. You might want to listen to that conversation.
Yeah.
And then Jeff's regular Tuesday, Wednesday guest, which is Joey Clark, who, by way of background, Joey Clark was originally my producer when I had my own show three and a half years ago.
Was he a pretty good producer?
He was until the end. At the end, he was like, "You're ready to fly, little bird. Now let me sit here and play on my phone."
By the way, you're going to notice from the text line, a lot of talk on the... We had a shooting at the Sanger Theater on Sunday at a dance recital, a murder, and then we had a two-year-old shot while she was asleep in bed last night in Pritchard. It's unbelievable. So anyway, just to give you a heads up, that's what's coming at you. So aside with the agenda that you have, get ready to slide on some of that stuff too, and we'll talk to you here in just a bit, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
You got it.
All right, stay tuned. The April Marie Fogle Show. That just changed the...
Newly brand.
It's the Jeff Poor Show, hosted by April Marie Fogle on the way, and Dan and I will be back tomorrow morning at 6 for another Mobile Mornings. Appreciate you on the text line, 251-343-0106. Keep those rolling. For April Marie, Sean will be out at the Battleship today, noon to 1, followed by Scuttlebutt Network at 1. So come see us at the USS Alabama.
Are you tired of the mainstream media's biased reporting? Do you want to stay informed on the news that really matters to you? Look no further than 1819 News. At 1819 News, we bring you the latest in Alabama news, politics, sports, culture, and more. We've assembled a team of journalists with Alabama values dedicated to the truth and the truth alone. Visit us at 1819news.com today. That's 1819news.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Honest News, Alabama Values.
Pigeon on Deck. This is Tom Claxton with the Scuttlebutt Network. Come join me and co-host Cal Walters this Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. as we broadcast live from the Battleship USS Alabama. That's this Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. at the Battleship.
Ooh-dah. And this is Sean Sullivan, and I'll be doing the lead-in for the Scuttlebutt Boys with Midday Mobile from noon to 1 from the Battleship USS Alabama in the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. It's Wednesday starting at noon at the Battleship on FM Talk 106.5. Come see us.